Or Jonathan, right?
Right. Yeah, that's what I show.
Right.
We'll wait just another minute and see if they... If they pop on.
This would be a good meeting for everybody to show.
Oh. Yes, it would. I just realized I have my minutes and my packet for the plan, but I didn't print the agenda.
Can screen share that, Kate.
That would be great.
Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Can you see it?
Yes. Thank you great. So much.
Yep.
Oh, thank you.
And we do have public input today, right?
That is correct. He is on the call.
Okay. Well, then I'd like to get going here. You know, I wonder, Jonathan and John are often running behind, and I think it's because they've got work conflicts.
Uh-huh.
And I have not heard from anybody. Stephanie, did you hear from anybody that they were not able to come?
I did not hear that, no.
Okay, so do we have a quorum? Do we have enough people to actually approve the minutes? Or, I mean, we can
yes. see that. Yep.
We
yeah,
do?
You can approve
okay.
minutes with six, yep.
Okay, so has everybody had a chance to read the minutes while we've been sitting here waiting?
I can start with roll call.
Okay.
Sure, Kate Conrad?
I'm here.
David Van Allen?
Here.
Lynn Ockin?
Here.
Jonathan Berger? John Suka? Elizabeth Rhodes Reed?
Here.
Julie Stowe? Ann Johnson?
Here.
Maria Moore?
Here.
Okay, so if everybody's had a chance to read the minutes from the January meeting, let's hear if there are any edits or changes to those minutes, corrections. And if there's nothing, I'll entertain a move to approve.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so I think there are no opposed. That's unanimous. The minutes are approved. So let's.
Hey, do you know who did the second?
Lynn.
Thank you.
Uh-huh, sure.
Let me get back up to the agenda there.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
There's
so
no
then
items.
Then let's move on to, do we want to move on to our public input since he's waiting?
Yes.
Okay. Great.
Okay. I'm wondering, since we're going to be sort of laying this all out today, if the public input might be better placed after that with questions answered, or do we want to sort of partly answer the questions and then have more detail later?
public input about the plan?
No. It's a yes. It's about the latest. It's about the latest mural, the $50,000 mural.
Kevin.
Hello.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay.
It's public comment. So, yeah.
Okay. Shall I proceed? Hello.
Yes. Yeah. That's
yes, fine. Please, Kevin. Welcome. So you're the floor is yours. You can go ahead. We're eager to hear your input.
Okay. Hello, my name is Kevin Wymore, and I'm a citizen of Cedar Rapids, 4501 Pineview Drive Northeast. Dear commissioners and staff, I do have some concerns about the associated or ASJ Black Lives Matter mural. I did communicate some of those concerns already to Stephanie with providing a mural that had been paid for with public funds in Madison, Wisconsin. And basically, I would like a much more detailed account of how this partnership came about. And in any event, I believe there ought to be a major public feedback component to help choose the winner, because frankly, I believe that especially if what happens in Madison happens in Cedar Rapids, a lot of people are not going to be happy. I don't know, Stephanie, did you circulate that image of the mural in Madison to the members?
Kevin, I did not. I was actually giving a presentation for a group in Washington, D.C. this afternoon. But, you know, honestly, I can already tell you, you know, we're not aiming for any kind of art that disparages anyone. So, you know, I can put that concern to rest right now. That's not what this commission is about.
Okay, well, that does help in a great degree, because frankly, I wish you would forward the image that I sent to you to the members, because it was objectionable and it was meant to insult the police department. And I think if $50,000 is spent on public monies to insult and demean our very good police department, I think a lot of people are going to be extremely unhappy. First of all, Mr. Kidd, the Advocates for Social Justice partner, as I've been told about, appears not to have any particular visual arts expertise. And also, the Advocates for Social Justice candidate for mayor lost by a great margin only 2 months ago. And so these things, it's not been communicated to me why this is the top priority, and why Mr. Kidd and the Black Lives Matter group should have priority to bring this mural to fruition. So I don't know. I think if the public were to be apprised of this, I think there would be a lot of feedback. So furthermore, I don't know if this is earmarked money for public art. If it is, and it can only be spent for one purpose, I would hope that there would be some maybe competing ideas. And let me also say that if this is an uplifting, inspirational message on this mural, that would be one thing. But like I say, I would object, and I'm sure many, many Cedar Rapidians would object if it is a demeaning and insulting and unproductive mural, such as what got paid for and got installed in Madison, Wisconsin.
Do you know who paid for that? Was that the city paid for that mural, or was that a
private? Yes, it was. And let me provide some background. There was unrest, there was rioting in the wake of the vile murder of the Black gentleman in Minneapolis. And because of all the broken glass, they had to put up plywood, and someone said, well, why don't we decorate it? And they decorated it with frankly objectionable kind of portrayal of the cop as Pig. And in the corner, of course, it said FUK 12, which of course means, I'm sure everyone understands that. It doesn't bring, it would not be a good thing for downtown Cedar Rapids, and certainly would bring a great deal of adverse publicity, I think, and adverse news coverage to Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, I sure would.
Well, and
Kevin, I am screen sharing that image you sent me right now, so the committee is looking at it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I can only hope that if and indeed comes to fruition that a much more productive approach that we can all be proud of indeed does take place. Parenthetically, there was a separate either a plaque or a statue of Martin Luther King in a separate location downtown, and that, of course, did not cause any controversy at all. But indeed, this when many people unfortunately think of the Black Lives Matter national organization, they think of people who may intentionally be trying to cause division and strife. And if the Cedar Rapids mural is anything like this, I think that would be the obvious conclusion. So that's all I have. Another thing that I might suggest is that the mural might be, the winning mural provider might be paid marginally less, and the difference could be given to the food pantries in Cedar Rapids, which I believe right now is a much greater concern than any even well-meaning public art. That's all, Kevin, I have.
Kevin, I would like to tell you that, you know, we do have murals around town, and they have all been uplifting. I mean, I just saw the image of what you presented from Madison, and I'm speaking for myself, but I think other people on the commission would also agree, we wouldn't have anything like that. I found it offensive, and what we like to do with the murals are make them uplifting for the whole community. Art is supposed to be for everyone, not just a small group or someone doing a protest. That looks more of a protest than an uplifting addition to the art community. And I also wanted to tell you about, you're talking about a less payment. I'm a working artist, and so I understand there are many costs that people don't understand that artists have to go through and pay out of their own pocket. And so that's why, you know, we put the fee up there, because whoever gets this project, because it's a tall project, so they're going to have lifts. Those are expensive to rent. There is just a lot of factors that artists have to pay for themselves.
And if I'm allowed to speak, one additional comment. I understand that, and I don't think, you know, if it's a meritorious project, it should be given what it's worth. But I struggle, frankly, especially after the mayoral election, when the ASJ candidate, unfortunately, in my opinion, said Cedar Rapids is a systemically racist place. If the billboard said Cedar Rapids is a systemically racist place, I don't think it would be well received.
Oh, I don't think we're adding art to be uplifting. I don't think this is a billboard for someone's position on how they feel about politics.
Okay. Well, and one final comment, and I really will remain silent. if you go to the Advocates for Social Justice website in Cedar Rapids, it does clearly say at the top of the website, we intend to bring about social and political change.
And to follow on what Betsy said, Mr. Wymore, we reflect the values of the entire community, not just the values of certain parts of the community. So we hope that there's art out there for everyone. And we are grateful for your comments. We're always glad when the public want to come and speak with us. We know that it's, you know, time out of your day, and that you gave some, you know, real thought to this. And we appreciate that feedback. And we'll certainly keep it in our minds as we continue forward. Commissioners, any other comments before we move on to our next agenda item?
Well, I have one, I think, which one of the things we've come to realize on this particular committee is that not all of the artwork that shows up in town is actually sanctioned by us. It does pass, much of it passes through our committee, and we comment on it and so on, and give our approval, and then it passes on to some other group to pass on their approval. But if somebody's got private property and wants to put up a mural and wants to make a statement, we don't really have that much to say about it. We can say all we want about it, but we don't have power to actually veto that. If somebody wants to make a personal statement on private property, and as long as the property owner agrees with that, if the property owner doesn't agree with it, then that's an issue for another department, the police department. Our committee is not really interested in creating an argument or contributing to one side or another of an argument. We're more interested in art that sort of opens up minds rather than enforces a closed mind on a particular topic. I don't think that there's any reason for you, Kevin, to worry about us mishandling this. This one is in our purview. This is actually our money. Our committee got has a was budgeted with enough money to do this particular thing. So this is not a private enterprise. This is a public one, and so we're dealing with the entire community, not just with one point of view, which I think this has already been stated by others, so I don't need to go any further than that. But I also thank you for your input on this. Yeah, thanks. That was me talking, in case you couldn't tell. I was this guy waving his hand up here. That was the guy who was talking.
So are we ready to move on with the rest of our agenda?
Sure.
Okay. Thank you again, Mr. Wymore.
Was he muted out or something?
He must be.
Yeah.
Linda, did you want to share?
Me?
Yep, you should be able to share.
I just didn't know if he had left or not. If he was still on, is he still on?
I'm sorry. Are we moving on to the plan?
Yeah, yes. Public comments okay. Limited to 5 minutes, so that was a little more than that. Yep.
Okay. Let me share. Stephanie, I'm not sure, did you give the Visual Arts Commission members the update on Sylvia's involvement?
No. Nope. So Sylvia had been planning on continuing with a little bit of work to wrap up this project, but she's found that the move and her new position have kept her pretty busy. So she's stepped away from the subcontractor role with this project.
And Stephanie has stepped into it.
Right.
So, well, thank you very much for taking the time. I know we don't have a lot of time on the agenda. First, I want to ask if anyone had a chance to read the plan.
Yes.
Perfect. Because we don't want to spend a lot of time really going over the full plan. There are some areas that we want to specifically talk to the Visual Arts Commission about. But what I will do is kind of do a quick run through of the goals with a little bit of an overview of the strategies, and then we'll go straight into discussion. And Stephanie, we have what, 30 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a lot more to the plan than just goals and strategies, but that's what we'll look at today. So if you remember from when we did the presentation on the draft goals, many of them still align. We didn't make a lot of changes to that. Goal one is continuing to enhance and broaden public art throughout the city. This includes transforming spaces through temporary projects and community involvement, expanding communication efforts, elevating awareness of public art and communications to the public about projects and about the value of public art to the community, working with neighborhood associations and setting up a local artist-initiated public art program that would create a matching city fund for the program. And of course, broadening and diversifying the collection. And we have a lot, we've had a lot of conversations, local artists, regional artists versus national and international. You know, and a quality collection is going to include all of the above: international, national, local, and regional artists, different types of art, et cetera. But we did hear specifically that there's a lot of interest in promoting, elevating, and training local artists in the public art. We also have a focus on that. And we also recommended a public art focus festival, which would be long-term. As you can see, most of these are short-term to mid-term. And we will have in the final plan a very detailed matrix identifying each goal and strategy and action, the resources that it would take, the lead for that goal, and a timeline for that goal. And the city is reviewing that matrix right now, but it will be included in the final plan. So as we just talked about, goal two is encouraging local and regional artists. So this is what we're looking at: professional development opportunities, setting up an allied artist program where you might have a national artist working on an installation, or they were commissioned by Cedar Rapids, where there would be a budget put aside for a local artist from Cedar Rapids to work on that project as well. Oops. Wrong way. So there's been a lot of positive conversation about goal three, cultivating partnerships to support the program, to partner with the city. So this goal and the strategies are about defining those partnerships, where the possibilities are, also doing internal convening with city departments. There's a lot of crossover that can happen in a public art program. So regularly convening city departments to identify those projects. And I know the city already does that, but formalizing it into regular convenings will help move it forward. And then also creating a community artist in residence program. And again, this is the long-term strategy in this goal area, because that would take some time to define it, where the artist in residence should be. We had a lot of interest, as we talked about before, from local art organizations to take part in this as well. So actually, you know what? I'm going to go to goal five and then come back to goal four, because goal four is what we really want to talk about. Goal five is implementing a maintenance plan for the current and future collection. We met with RLA, our partner, our conservator partner, finished their full maintenance survey of the collection. It is right now in city review and community development, and Stephanie will forward that to you all after the city review. It's very detailed. We think it's very impressive. It gives specific information about each piece in the collection, and then general direction on future maintenance and conservation, all the way from very easy things about like moving sprinklers around so they're not aimed at a piece of art, all the way up to hiring a professional conservator to do some of the maintenance that needs to be done on some of the collection. So that will be included. A summary will be included in the final plan, and then the full maintenance survey document will be an internal document for the city. So goal four is really about sustainable administration and funding. So one of the recommendations we're making is to rename the Visual Arts Commission as a public art commission. And the reason for this is that we heard some confusion from the public and others about what the role of the Visual Arts Commission is versus a public art commission. And best practices nationally is a public art commission, because you all do focus on public art. And then long-term, we're recommending the city would create a cultural arts commission that would have purview over the broader cultural arts in the community, and where the public art commission would be a subset committee of the cultural arts commission. We're recommending that the commission update profile requirements to really ensure that in the future that all members hold qualifications and that there's diversity of thought and background on the commission moving forward. And then also another recommendation is reviewing artist selection practices. We have some very detailed information on artist selection that will be provided as part of the policy and guidelines section of the plan. So first we wanted to really have a discussion about the name change and the recommendations we're making specific to the Visual Arts Commission. So we'd love to hear your comments and thoughts on that.
I have a question. Do you spell out in detail about what the qualifications should be for someone to serve on the Visual Arts Commission or the Public Art Commission?
Sure. So we're recommending that the qualifications be diversity of fields, including artists, so being a professional artist, a design professional, urban planning, could be real estate development. But most commissions, when if you have that diversity of backgrounds, you get different expertise. So I sit on a county commission here, and we have an architect. We have a developer slash general contractor. We have a professional artist, and then we have others with design background. So looking at a project, we have all of this different expertise and views that really helps us define that project, identify barriers, and also some of the real detail when it's a large installation that needs to be paid attention to.
Given that, how would you rate the current board, the current commission? I just started counting and say we have a large number of artists on the commission. Is well, that something?
I don't think it's David or I's job to rate the commission. We don't have we don't have your resumes. We don't have your background. So, So we're making recommendations based on what we see as best practices and what we see as works really well. And it could be change over time.
It does change over time.
Uh-huh. One thing I would say, David, is that a theme of this plan and of what we heard from the community was about the relationship between your public art program and the community.
Uh-huh.
So as Linda pointed out, there's a theme about partnerships and collaborations and letting things bubble up from the community and defining public art projects. So that suggests that some commissioners might be selected for their not just design or arts expertise, but also for their community connections, their experience with partnerships.
Many times there'll be a couple of community at large members, and we also know some committees that appoint a youth position. So someone from a college or university could also be included. I mean, it's really up to you all. These are just kind of loose guidelines of what we recommend, but it's up to you all to decide, how you want to move forward with a membership. And then
I have one other thought or concern. I'm remembering how I got on the board. I was somebody approached me. Somebody who was leaving the board approached me. A fellow artist, Mel Andringa, some of you will know him.
He's on the steering committee, yes.
I was only marginally aware of the existence of this committee, VAC. I decided to follow through, and I went through, I filled out an application and sent it to the mayor. And the mayor approved it, I guess, and then I got put on the board. So I'm wondering, I'm sure everybody's got a slightly different origin story, but this could be, in order to make that diversity, Invitations would have to go out, I would think, rather than just sort of post it and have people sign up. It seems to me that, you know, a little heads up should go out in as many different directions as we want to represent on the board. So maybe, you know, for instance, I'm thinking one likely or unlikely group would be developers. This might not be on their radar unless somebody talked them into it. I guess these are all issues we need to work out ourselves probably, but diversity doesn't happen automatically. the insiders, the people who got the inside information are the ones that are gonna have the closest contact with the openings, with what's coming up and so on. Not everybody follows government subcommittees. Anyway, so that's what I want.
How true.
Yes, how true.
Yeah, David, I'm sorry, Linda, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to ask if there's any other comments, but go ahead.
David, I really agree with your comments that recruiting new members takes thought and effort. And one of the reasons behind this recommendation, this goal and strategy, is to encourage not only you as members of the VAC, but also staff to take the long view as if you were recruiting for a board of directors of a nonprofit that you might serve on. And just spell out in general terms the range of qualifications you would look for. Because right now it's pretty much, you know, someone who's interested and knowledgeable about the arts. That's kind of the basic qualification.
Okay.
Would it be of value for us to add an appendix or something where the Visual Arts Commission came up with a list of types of people we should be looking for, just like you mentioned, and sort of even write it down, you know, from architecture and state developer. So we would have a thing to look at, which would help then open the doors a little bit, I guess, and open our minds so that, because for me, I think a lot of it in the past just would have been, we have openings, does anybody know anybody? Somebody mentioned somebody's name, somebody gets them to fill out a thing, it goes to the mayor, he says yes, or she says yes. You know, it's not given a whole lot of thought as much as it is, we need permission. You know, that's been my experience. Whereas if we had a list of saying, okay, do anybody know architects? Does anybody know real estate developers? Does anybody know business people in the community that are interested in the arts, you know, to approach them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we can create kind of a one pager in the appendix that gives that information.
I think that would be great. So it's a guideline for future openings.
What about the name change?
Yes.
How do you all feel about that? Lynn says yes. She said yes yesterday.
Yeah, I like it too. I don't dislike our current name. However, the word art has, or art and artist has sort of been, I don't know what I want to say here, diluted by say musicians. Musicians are calling themselves artists, and so it would sound like musicians should be under our purview. And I don't think they should be under our purview. We need to distinguish ourselves a little bit more than just the word artist, because now it's kind of a widespread term that also applies to people on stage, it applies to actors, applies to lighting technicians, it applies to composers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, it's lost some of its specific original meaning and sort of spread out a bit over the other arts, the other fine arts. I like the idea that we get specific and call ourselves the visual. Well, we already call us, that's our currently. But something, what is the new name?
Public Art Commission.
Sorry, say it again.
Public Art
Commission. Public Art, okay. Yeah, well, that's also new, so that sounds fine to me.
And David, Mr. Wymore was I think he pointed out, you know, it's public art. I mean, as we were pointing out to him. And so I think public is a good way of going. Public art.
Well, and, you know, and public art for the same reason we're recommending, you know, an update for the future qualifications is the same reason we're recommending public art commission. Because public art is specific. And you all have been through enough projects, right, that you understand it can be very technical when you're doing an installation of a sculpture. It can be very political. There's a lot of facets, both good and bad, conflict and bringing, you know, conflict in the community, bringing a community together. And the Public Art Commission is really about public art, whereas the Visual Arts Commission, you know, indicated an expansion from public art to all of the visual arts.
And I like what you're saying, that it would become sort of a sub-commission or group under the bigger.
Yeah.
Because then that's sort of what I think Ann Foe was talking about maybe last year about. You know, we have all these other types of art, whether it's dance, music, other things that are art as well, theater. So to have a bigger umbrella with the public art being part of the bigger umbrella makes sense to me.
And that may be more of a midterm goal. You know, we put it as a long-term goal because there would be some, you know, a lot of work that would be done within the city. But if it's something that the city and you all want to pursue more quickly, we can move it up to a midterm goal.
Well, maybe adding the public to the title is going to be helpful for people, because that way it kind of explains that we're mainly dealing with stuff that is in the public realm rather than private art projects that are happening. That way people realize that, you know, if they're concerned about their tax dollars going to something that they find ugly, it's not something that we approved.
And along with the plan that you're not seeing in the document you have is a long section of policies and guidelines that will also help you all in, you know, in your commissions and your structure and the future of the collection. And it includes very specific information about roles and responsibilities of the Public Art Commission, the City Council, other city departments, outside agencies. It gives a lot of program guideline detail around artist selection process and what you're talking about, Maria, the difference between public art in the public realm, art in public realm versus private. What are eligible artworks? What are ineligible artworks when it comes to spending public art funds? Accessioning and deaccessioning policies, donation and loan policies, and then also maintenance and conservation policies as well. We just didn't want you to have to read all of that fine print detail for this meeting.
You rattled off a bunch of examples there, and as I contemplated one, I sort of missed the next one. I'm just wondering let's say, for instance, somebody puts up an offensive mural, private property, private wall, and it creates a big stir, maybe even generates a lawsuit. Do we have any guidelines that would sort of work, that we could work with to deal with something like that?
So Yeah, and it would probably go, it would go to another.
We'd have first ahead, David, issues you wanna... to deal with. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't think it's ours to deal with, is it?
David Plattner Saunders, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure somebody's going to ask us about it. We can pass the buck if we want, I suppose, but
so David, you said earlier when we were conversing with Kevin Wymore, that murals on private property are not part of your authority, and you're correct. Right. So, you know,
I'm just thinking it's going to come our way. If it happens, it'll come our way. It'll land on our committee's desk. You know, we could take it off and pass it to the next person. But I'm just wondering, is anybody thinking about this? Because there really is a new sort of a new environment for murals. I mean, it's crazy. You know, there's murals going up all over the place in lots of towns. It's like the 21st century phenomenon.
Well, I would say, David, that the Visual Arts Commission, soon to be the Public Art Commission, are the stewards of the city's public art collection.
Right.
It is not your responsibility to oversee or even necessarily have, as a group, a comment about other art that takes place in the community. And there certainly will be controversy that arises. I mean, but I would counsel you that it's not something you want to, as a body, take on.
It would be more the response, and Stephanie probably knows more about this, but it would be more of the responsibility of either permitting or zoning or signage ordinance, et cetera, because that would affect property.
I agree with Linda on that. There are ordinances, you know, that cover
nuisance or ordinances and things.
We will be including mural guidelines as part of the guidelines as well. They will be more standardized, and the planning department obviously will have to customize them to whatever zoning, permitting, signage, et cetera. But it does, it provides some detail and processes for murals being accepted with city funds on city property.
One other thing that's kind of gearing off, but it was something that I thought about since yesterday. When you said that there, in part of the plan, it said there are some art pieces that should be relocated. I was wondering if you specifically stated which one should be relocated and where they should be relocated to.
I don't remember putting anything in there about
I think it was related to like some parks maybe that really didn't have any other amenities. And so maybe there was an opportunity. Is that, I think, Lynn, was that kind of the context of that?
I'm not sure where I read at what page, but I think it was more toward the beginning. It was something, or maybe when it was on analyzing the pieces of maintenance and stuff, but it specifically said that they saw there were art pieces that they thought had to be in a better location than where they currently were. And I can't remember where I read it in the plan, but I just wondered.
Lynn, when we were working with Sylvia and touring the community and having various conversations about the plan, she mentioned that there are some works in remote parks or in places where they're not very visible or they aren't necessarily appropriate to the site.
Right.
And she commented that relocating artworks might be valuable, but we did not identify a list of works to be moved.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting, I guess maybe this commission could possibly look at some of that, or if you could even tell us what we should be looking for to determine if something should be relocated.
Yeah, it wasn't a big issue. It just came up, I think, in one conversation with Sylvia. Okay. Linda, is that what you remember?
Yes, but Stephanie, I think there are some artworks that need to be relocated because of the flood management system, right?
I don't know if they'll be relocated permanently, but there certainly are some with some upcoming flood work that will need to be temporarily relocated, and it's probably a very good opportunity for some of that maintenance to happen at the same time.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you for clarifying.
So I think we only have about 8 minutes left in our regular time period. So if there are other burning issues on the plan, the draft plan, we should probably get at those.
Just another, where we are now is that the plan is in design right now. So we will send you an updated plan when it's fully designed. We plan on going to the Stephanie's doing a presentation to the development committee based on the text draft, and then city council. We will wait for the full design plan to go to city council for adoption. So that'll be the end of March or beginning of April. And you all obviously will be first to know what the dates are when that happens or when that is scheduled.
Okay.
All right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time on the agenda, and we will be in touch via email or via Stephanie in the very, very near future.
Did we want to ask the commission to approve the draft plan to take it forward to council?
I'll leave that up to Kate.
Do we want further discussion among the group before we do that, or do we want to go ahead and approve as I mean, we can always send additional comments, can't we?
Yeah, we could also wait until we have the design plan, if that makes you all feel any. Stephanie, what would it work in the timeline if we wait for the design plan for the Visual Arts Commission to approve?
You'd probably just need to call maybe call a special meeting. Your next meeting is March 10th. So that could potentially be recommending approval, of the final plan, of one of them, I guess, on the March 10th meeting, unless you wanted to have a special meeting before that.
No, because the design plan is supposed to be completed by March 8th, so that should work fine.
You know, it could be an option too to push your regular meeting back a day or two or something too. That's up to you guys if that's something you want to do.
How do people feel about that? Do you want to wait and see the rest?
I have one point. When we did the preliminary presentation. When you did the preliminary presentation to the council committee, what was it? The development committee or something?
Steering committee? You mean the steering committee?
Oh, when Kate and I...
Yeah, when you and Kate, yeah.
Yeah, that was the development committee.
Development committee.
That was presenting the work plan.
The work plan, yeah. And Ann Poe had some interesting comments and some good recommendations. And I was just wondering... Are those covered in what we have here in the in this draft?
Stephanie, is that what you forwarded to me?
No, that was comments from a couple months before that, and I'd have to think of what her comments were. I think they would have been work plan related because that's what we were presenting at that meeting.
Stephanie did say that she wanted us to focus art placements on other areas of the city, which is already in the plan.
Yes.
she wondered if we couldn't come up with a way to have a, you know, like a web presence that showed every mural in the city, whether they were ours or not, and sort of say something about them. And, you know, there, but it wasn't, she was pretty, she wasn't really talking about our plan. She was talking about the work plan. And then she had these other comments, and basically we told her that's in the, the public arts master plan. We have that addressed.
So yeah, in the mural concept that she had saw in Ithaca, New York, I think. I mean, that's something like operationally we could do as a community development department. You know, we could make that happen. That's really not, you know, wouldn't be something in the in the public art master plan. So,
but I think they were pretty excited about the master plan and really excited about seeing it. So. I don't think we're doing anything that, or not doing anything that they would want.
Okay.
We would like to be able to take the plan forward with your formal blessing to City Council. So whenever you think it's appropriate, we'd like to get your, you know, your formal approval. And if there are changes, you know, now would be the time.
Right. Yeah, so that's why, just to make sure we have covered.
How soon will we have that plan to look at?
Our target date for the full design plan, including all the policies and guidelines, will be March 8th.
Okay. So.
That's the really big, thick one, right?
Yeah.
I think we should have, for those who are interested, we should read that and see.
I do too.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable waiting because I would like you all to be able to view the policies and guidelines and everything else, because we don't want any surprises after that. So,
yeah. Betsy, John, Maria, what do you all think?
Yeah, that's fine.
I think it would be a good idea.
Okay, so we'll keep you updated. You know, if we get the design done before March 8th, you know, a week or two before, we'll contact Stephanie. Maybe we can do a little earlier, but we'll let you know.
Or even if you can give us in smaller chunks, you know, we could spread out over time. I guess. If you have some things that are already done now, we could start reading. Right? It's a pretty big report, isn't it?
The maintenance report is, if you're talking, but the maintenance survey would not be part of the approved plan. That's a separate document. But Stephanie can forward, when Jennifer is done with her review, Stephanie can forward the maintenance survey to you all. Because yeah, that's probably the largest, that's the doorstop. But it's really interesting, and it's got an executive summary. So
yeah, it's pretty digestible, but you know, you're all artists, so I think you'll be interested to at least look at some of the assessment sheets for each, you know, for individual pieces, because it's really educational.
Okay, I hate to be a party pooper, but I have to leave for another meeting. So David Van Allen, can you close things out? Thank you.
Sure.
Bye, Kate. Take
care.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So we're, what are we doing?
Next item on the agenda, probably.
Oh, we have more items.
Yeah.
Oh, the Tree of Five Seasons, yes.
Yeah. David had shared with, I don't actually know if everyone was quite on the email, but there was an, David was contacted by a community member who was interested in the potential for uplighting the Tree of Five Seasons. And so that conversation has prompted, I checked into what the schedule for the flood work around the Tree of Five Seasons is. So just for your awareness, trying to find where that, can you guys see the screen here that I'm sharing?
Yes.
Okay. So the Tree of Five Seasons Park is going to be undergoing some flood work. If you've been downtown lately, you've likely seen the cranes on that side of First mm-hmm. Avenue. And the first part of the flood wall is over there right now. You can see that it's gray. But you know, starting this summer through 2024, so about 2 years, there's work happening over there. And part of that flood work means that the actual Tree of Five Seasons sculpture will be elevated and realigned because of to accommodate a pump station that will go in over there. The permanent flood wall with elevated park will be installed and allow views of the river. There'll also be a new bike trail, and landscaping and tree plantings will kind of complete the project. So I did check with our flood control manager, and he agreed that this proposed, you know, lighting project could align very well with the work that's going on over there. Once the new tree is, you know, been elevated. And so the person who emailed David, her name is Jen, and she works at De Novo Marketing, and they are actually mocking up some concepts of what the uplighting could look like. And she'd like to present that to the Visual Arts Commission or Public Arts Commission at a future meeting. So really that's the only update on that right now. So just kind of making you aware of that, of the interest in that.
Yeah, that's Jen Newman. She's actually the owner of De Novo. So she has, and she has several designers under her control. So she can assign things to a group. We don't get charged for this. And she's got funding possibilities to that aren't us to back this idea, and a lot of it has to do with sort of in memoriam to the fellow that designed it. What, remember his name? He's a well-known designer here in town. Anybody know who I'm talking about? CM with CMFNG, I think.
Munsell.
Huh?
Munsell.
Munsell. There we go. Yeah. He just died recently.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people had a great deal of regard for him, and including Jen Newman, who wanted to make sure that something happened with that design of the Tree of Five Seasons. She was inspired to some extent by the way the Alliant building gets lit up at night, you know, when it changes color and has multicolor sometimes. She was thinking along those lines of making the Tree of Five Seasons be a little bit more active. So it's not just pointing a bunch of lights at it so you can see it at night, but maybe making it into some sort of installation, which struck me as something that was fairly close to what we were up to when we commissioned that light piece that is now in the Five Seasons Center. There's possibilities there for it to be kind of an interesting piece, you know, above and beyond its design and above and beyond its theme. It could be kind of an interesting light sculpture. But it's not yet because the designs haven't been made yet. So we'll see what they come up with. Any other comments on this? No? Okay, so move on to announcements. Anyone have announcements? No? I'm trying to quit smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's not. Okay. So, Next on the agenda is adjournment. Anyone wish to move for adjournment?
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay, John, thank you. Second adjournment. You all want to stay here, huh?
I okay, second.
Ann seconds it. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, everybody said aye. All right. So that passes, and I think we're adjourned. Okay, so.
Yeah. Bye. Thanks, everyone. Bye.